Check out Dobbs April deals before you make your next tire or service purchase, including super BOGO deals on oil changes, plus great deals on new sets of tires. Bumper to bumper, your dollars go further at Dobbs. Click on gotodobbs.com for April deals now.
Meet Sumner One, your go-to source for all things office technology. We're proud to be one of the largest independently owned providers in the region with 11 strategic locations across 5 states. At Sumner One, we specialize in workplace solutions, enterprise print, production print, large format solutions, cutting-edge document technology, and more. Quality, service, and innovation. That's the Sumner One advantage. Visit us online at sumneronecom. That's SUMNER1.com. Sumner One, welcome to the one place where everything works.
Blues, find your perfect new floor at our 4 convenient locations and online at boardwalkhardwood.com.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Brooke, Dan, Randy, the opening drive, 101 ESPN, and we go to the celebrity line of the TV voice of the Blues, John Kelly. Kind enough to join us on a Tuesday morning. JK, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Randy. How are you?
Good. Hey, I wanted an opinion from you. We just did a segment a couple of segments ago about the young Blues players, and we're going to count Jordan Kyrou in this group. But with Kyrou, Neighbors, Bolduc, Kessel, maybe Perunovic, if the Blues would run it back with that group of young players and the players that they played this year, presuming health again, do you think that group is ascending enough so that the Blues could win 3 more games and be a playoff team next year?
Well, I think that you have to factor in the fact that the Blues have some unrestricted free agents, and they probably have some players that aren't coming back. And I guess the big question regarding next year's team is, who are those players that are taking the spots of players that probably won't come back, like a Kapanen, a Blais, some other Scandella. So, you know, just because I think you have a good group of young players, you can't say, well, they're going to grow and push this team into the playoffs. Hopefully they do next year. But I still think there's going to be a percentage of the roster that is going to be filled. And at this time, it's unknown. I mean, hopefully that the Blues make some good additions, and who knows if they make any trades and things like that, or if a young Dvorsky makes the team next year. So I think there are a lot of unanswered questions. But certainly the Blues do have a really good prospect pool. And I was very impressed with, as you said, some of the young players, especially, you know, if you want to throw Kyrou into that group, fine. But especially Kessel and Neighbors, 2 players that have come in this year, then to me have really exceeded expectations. And it's not easy to play in this league as a rookie, regardless if you're 18 or 22 or whatever. It's a tough league. And I think those 2 guys in particular have really played well.
John, another young player who's a part of that core that we're talking about here moving forward, Zachary Bolduc moving into more of that top 6 role here in the last few weeks. What have you seen from him, and is that the expectation for him moving forward to just stay within that top 6 role, and do you think he can really thrive there?
Well, Brooke, it's a hard question because, I'm not trying to be negative, but the facts are that, you know, sometimes players come in late in a season, or, you know, players on teams that are the playoffs, they do well. I'll give you an example. Is last year, down the stretch, the Blues won a lot of games, as we know, but they were out of the playoffs. And players like Kapanen and Blais and Verona put up really good numbers, right? And this year, those 3 have not put up really good numbers, to say the least. So why is that? I don't know. Is it because the team is out and there's really not a lot of pressure? You know, I don't know. But Bolduc has come in and played really well, and he's played well in the top line. But I don't think that, based on his numbers at the American League level this year, and they weren't great, that you can say for sure he's going to come in and be in your top 6. I'm not trying to be negative. I just think it's reality that it's such a hard league, and it's way different when you're playing on teams that are contenders and teams that are the playoffs. Now, I know the Blues were in contention until last week, so they did play meaningful games. But I've been impressed by him on the top line. And he's handled the pressure, and he's playing against the top defensive pairs, the best checkers, et cetera. And he's done very well. So there's no reason to think that he can't play next year on the Blues for a full-time basis Whether he's in the top line or the top six, I don't know. I think it's too early to say. But certainly he has shown a lot after what I would consider, again, not a great year in the American League record or scoring-wise. But obviously he grew as the year went on, and his numbers did get better down the stretch.
JK, I think it's happened quietly. I don't know if you would agree, but the season that Parayko had, 211 block shots, 73 takeaways, I thought he was as solid from the opening drop of the puck in early in the season to what we see now. How about your takeaway from what you saw from Colton?
100% on the mark, Dan. You know, he came in as a rookie in 15-16. The Blues went to the third round that year, lost to San Jose. And he was fantastic and just got better and better over the next couple of years. And, you know, during the cup run, we've talked about it. He and Bouwmeester were basically the shutdown pair. They were fantastic. And then Colton got hurt, you know, hurt his back. And for a couple of years, he wasn't the Colton Parayko that we came to know. And he's back to where he was. And I think he's exceeded even his play back in 19. So I would say without a doubt that right now, he is playing the best hockey of his career. He's in the prime of his career, and there's no reason that he can't be a stud defenseman on this roster for whatever, the next, you know, 7, 8, 9 years. He is one of the best shutdown, a three-zone defenseman that there is right now in the NHL, no question about it.
And JK, another guy that's playing his best hockey is Robert Thomas. It's interesting because we would always ask Keith Tkachuk, hey, what's Robert Thomas going to become? This is when Thomas was 18, 19 years old. And he said he's going to be Patrice Bergeron. And he's not there yet, but with what he wants to do, and he tells us every week, hey, I've got things to work on. He wants to work on his 200-foot game and his passing ability. It sure seems like he's on his way to being a really, not just a number one center, but one of the top centers in the league.
I agree. You know, he's in the top 20 in scoring. Obviously, he's, you know, career high in points already this year with one game to play. So he's grown a lot. And I think what fans need to understand is I know Robert's not a rookie. He was a rookie back in 18-19, so he's 5 years in. But this is the first full year that he's been the number one center because O'Reilly had that job, obviously, for many years until he got traded last spring. So it's sort of uncharted territory for Robert. And for the most part, he's had a really good season and he's handled that pressure and played one-on-one games, not one-on-one, but, you know, head-to-head matchups against the likes of McDavid and McKinnon and, you know, others, top players, and has done really well. So, you know, will he be a better player in 2 years? Probably, because he's still a fairly young guy. So, but I was really impressed with his overall game. And, you know, is he going to be as good as Bergeron down the road? That's a high bar. I mean, this guy was Mr. Selke every year, it seems. So he was one of the very best to ever come along and play that two-way role. But Robert has grown into a super, really good two-way center iceman. And, you know, the future is so bright for him. I can see him certainly getting close to 100 points down the road and hopefully winning the Selke Trophy one day. That would be ideal.
JK, how would you describe the season on the ice for Jordan Kyrou? First in goals, tied for first, 5-on-5 points, first in shots by a long margin, nearly 50. And I'm not talking about the contract. I'm not talking about what happened with Craig Berube when he was relieved of his duties. Just what you saw from Jordan Kyrou this year.
Yeah, Dan, I would never analyze a player based on his contract. I know some fans do in other sports. You know, he's an $8 million player. He has to do that. I don't really associate that. That's sort of the owner's issue, right, in the player's business. But how would I analyze this? I think, first of all, he has been very, very good in the last month. He's really stepped up his game in the biggest games of the year when the Blues needed him. He scored a ton of big goals down the stretch. So I think that he has had a very good season. Obviously, he had 37 goals last year, I believe, 37, 38, so he won't hit that number. But I think offensively he is still obviously the Blues' most dangerous player, and he's one of the most skilled players in the league. Where he still needs to grow, I think, is he needs to be a little bit more consistent. You know, he has these great games and has many great games, but then there are games where instead of having a B-minus game, he might have a C-minus game or a D-plus game. So I think he needs to be more consistent, and his drop-off can't be as drastic as it is. And, you know, the other thing, you know, Randy and guys, is that he still at times, and he's not the only player, He plays to east-west instead of north-south. So, you know, getting into the blue line and trying to make that hero pass across the ice, it gets picked off and it's a 3-on-2 the other way. But young players do these things. They make mistakes, and it's hard to get bad habits out of your game at times. So I'd like to see him grow in that area and not play an east-west game and play a more north-south game. He doesn't do it all the time, but again, it creeps into his game at times. So, you know, I would say overall, though, I think he's had a very good season, and he has worked harder, and he's better defensively. But obviously, like most young players, there's still more growth there. So there's my answer.
Hey, John, the Blues season ends tomorrow night. The overall season ends on Thursday. And you've seen every team this year. What team do you think is best built for the playoff run, for a couple of months of gritty, grueling hockey?
Well, I think it's obvious that you'd have to say Vegas because, number one, they're the defending cup champions. And number two, they're a big, big team that really, you know, they had obviously a lot of skill, but they're built along the lines of the Blues Cup team in 19, and that they're a big, heavy team up front, and they have a really good defense. And they have a better defense than last year because they got Noah Hanifin from Calgary. So the team on paper that obviously I think is as good as any team. Now, having said that, you know, they have injuries, obviously. Mark Stone won't play until game one if he plays. Petrangelo is out. I was hearing rumblings. He might not be ready for game one of the playoffs. I don't know about his situation. So, you know, as we know in the Stanley Cup playoffs, you don't have time to find your game and to wait for players to come back from injury because you could be out of the series really quick. I mean, it's a best of seven is a very fast series. So they have to get healthy quickly and find their game because they'll probably play Edmonton, and Edmonton is a really good team, as we know. And they have perhaps the best player in the world in Connor McDavid. So I think on paper, they're the best team. I like Florida a lot. The last, you know, half of the season, a team that obviously was an 8 seed last year, went to the final. I think they're a tough team. They had a lot of skill, good goaltending, but they haven't played well down the stretch. And I think you'd have to be concerned about that because I think, as we all know, you can't just flip a switch on day one of the playoffs and say, well, don't worry about our poor play or our different play the last month. We're going to start playing really well. You can't really do that. So I'd be a bit concerned about how they played down the stretch.
John Kelly, thanks so much for joining us every Tuesday during the season. We've thoroughly enjoyed it. Have a great summer, and we'll do it again next year.
Sounds good, guys. All of you have a great summer, and thanks for listening and taking in my nonsense, so to speak.
We love it. We love you, and we'll be tuned in tomorrow. Thanks, John.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
John Kelly, TV voice of the Blues here on 101 ESPN.